Folks, I am at WSVM Radio in Valdez, North Carolina, which is my favorite radio station now. I've listened to a lot of radio over the years. I'm with Eddie Jolly, who is sort of, I want to say almost single-handedly, started this awesome little radio station that to me, it compares to anything. It's in Charlotte, in Greensboro, in Raleigh, all different places I've lived and worked down through the years. Get a lot of enjoyment out of this, and I want to interview Eddie about how he's pulled off this radio station and what it is that makes it so good, and some technical things, since my YouTube channel is about technical things as well. But enough about me, I want to move over to Eddie. And I do want to say I've created this long list of questions for Eddie. And first thing I wanted to, there's no way we can cover all this in an hour.
I got time, Tony.
You got time?
All right. I got time.
First question I have for you, Eddie, is, what did you think about this list when you saw it?
That was an incredibly long list of questions, but thank you for sending them to me.
I mean, I didn't want to catch you off guard with anything, but is anything here you think off? Anything I shouldn't ask you?
No, you can ask me anything, Tony, and if it's something that engineering or somebody wouldn't want answered, then we'll just deal with it as we get to it. Otherwise, I'm going to give you an answer to everything you ask me.
What is it that made you or led you to make this radio station like it is now?
Well, for years, Tony, I listened to radio just like anyone else around here, and I saw the corporations buying up all the stations, and it seemed like every time I turned around, they were taking one of my favorite radio stations and then turning it into a generic mush station. I mean, it didn't matter which one of them you listened to, they were all owned by the same company, so they were all playing the same thing. And what they were playing wasn't things that I knew to be popular in this area. You know, what was popular in New York in 1985 ain't necessarily what was popular in Valdez, North Carolina in 1985. Radio was a different creature back then, and I really wanted to see it come back around to its roots, to where when you turned it on, you would smile. It was something that you enjoyed doing. I mean, there was a mystique about radio, and I wanted to bring that back to my folks here in this area.
I totally get what you're talking about. When I was growing up, there was that certain something about radio that was, I don't know, it was just a little bit edgy, it was a little bit unpredictable, it was the unknown, you didn't know what the DJ was going to play next. It wasn't homogenized anyway. And you could be surprised a little bit by radio back then. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the elements that's gone now with most radio, is that you pretty much can almost predict what's going to come next?
Absolutely, Tony, yes. I mean, I can listen to some of the Charlotte stations down here, and I can name a song, and within 20 minutes you'll hear that song.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they have the same playlist, and they play them over and over and over.
So I have three categories here. I have about music and your format, about starting a radio station, and about you personally. So we're going to touch on all that.
Okay.
I'm going to jump around between different questions, but see your music selection. Categorize what WSVM is musically.
We would be called adult hits. We didn't brand ourselves as a classic hit station due to the fact that there would be songs that were really popular in the area that wouldn't be included in the mix. And I wanted to make sure that we had the popular songs, the songs that when you hear that, you go, oh yeah, that's my jam, you know. And a lot of times they're not included in the mixes on the other stations because they didn't fall in a certain genre, they didn't fall in a certain BPM, you know, and they were just completely written off, and it was great music. And I hated to see that.
So I'm riding down the road, I hear Billy Joel, It's a Matter of Trust. I haven't heard that song in forever. I hear all the other big hits by Billy Joel. Riding down the road, I hear Hysteria by Def Leppard. Okay, cool, I know that song. You just played it, It's in the Way That You Use It by Eric Clapton. I haven't heard that song much, maybe 10 times since high school. Big hit back in the day.
Yep.
I mean, I'm hearing Steely Dan. I'm hearing Dobie Gray.
Dobie Gray.
I'm hearing Prince and Madonna. I'm hearing the Bee Gees doing One, which was a big hit in the time, but then it went away and you never hear it again.
Right.
So how do you mine out what I would call the gems that you do? I mean, how do you go around picking these things out?
Well, Tony, I grew up in this area, and these folks here, they're friends. They're people that I associated with and that I dealt with on a daily basis. And I worked in the clubs. I DJed our dances in high school. And, you know, I got to know the folks and what they like to hear. And I kind of just went through what I had. Everything that we play on the station is my personal collection.
Yeah.
This is music that I've collected since I was 6, 7 years old. I mean, since the very first record I bought, which was Paul McCartney and Wings, Band on the Run. I bought that album, loved it too. You know, so I go through my mind and I remember the songs that the people really liked, you know, or they would say, hey man, I like that song, or if it were an upbeat one, everybody would dance to it. You know, it's kind of like I was DJing a party in a barn in Morganton, North Carolina one night when I was about 18 years old, and I was trying, I mean, trying so hard, Tony, to get the people on the dance floor, and it didn't seem like much of what I was doing was working. I mean, it's in a barn, everybody's dressed in cowboy boots and blue jeans, you know. Country wasn't working, I couldn't get them to do anything with dance. And I played one song, and it broke it open for
what
the rest
was the
of
song?
It. UB40, Red Red Wine.
Yeah.
You would have never thought it, but that was the most popular song that I played that night. And it was just because of the way the people tend to listen to music in this area. It's almost like when I was coming up with the idea for the station, how to program it, saying if I took your iPod and I took my iPod, or just any kind of music device that you've got that you store on, and I laid everybody's out and I got to looking through them, are they all going to have country on it? Are they all going to have rock and roll on it? Are they all going to have rap on it? No, they're not going to be one particular thing. There's going to be multiple types of music. I don't know anyone that listens to the exact same type of music all day long.
Your 70s, 80s, 90s, every once in a while you might cross a little bit into the 60s, just a little, or
we go into the
2002 or something like that.
Right. There's some fringe songs in both directions. You know, back in the 60s, is like this morning I played a retro flashback, a whole lot of shaking going on, Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah. Very popular song still to this day.
It's like 1959.
Right, it's in the 50s, but it's not included in any of the playlists of anyone else around here.
Yeah.
But people still like to hear it.
Now, there is a radio station way east of here that I hear when I go down east to visit my wife's family. They're down in like Robeson County. Mm-hmm. It's called Bob FM. It's like their slogan is, we'll play anything.
Right.
So you're about 90% there. But you also draw the lines. So
there is a line drawn, yes, absolutely.
I'll give you an example. I might hear Van Halen Dance the Night Away on your station. I might hear Jump. I might hear I'll Wait.
Just Like that, Paradise.
But I'm not going to hear Mean Streets, or I'm not going to hear probably Ice Cream Man. Even though some of those things might have been marginal little semi-hits and all, where do you draw the line on kind of what? You know, like this is going to be exactly what I'm going to play, and I'm not going to go that direction.
Well, I think basically if you sat down and you looked at the Billboard Hot 100 from 1955 to 1995, songs that were in that top 40, and there were a lot of them, is generally where I go, because it is a popular format. I mean, it was called pop music for a reason,
right?
Because it was popular.
Exactly.
And a lot of it is based on that. But then again, there are songs that, take Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama.
Exactly.
No chart. Very popular in North Carolina. And we play Lynyrd Skynyrd just about everything that they've got. And it's all directly related to the people in the area.
That's funny you say that. So I grew up in Little Switzerland. But basically, the same taste up in Spruce Pine area and all that, in Asheville and probably Statesville and Hickory and it all. I'd say you sort of collectively figured out, dialed in what those people were really going to like.
Exactly. You know, when I'm on the air, I don't want to play a bunch of slow songs. I don't want to play a bunch of hard songs. I don't want to play a bunch of dance songs back to back. You got to have a good mix. Which is why our motto for the station is...
It's the best mix.
The best mix on the dial.
It is really... And I never tune in and hear something too... I'll say there's one song that's like I turn on now and again, I hear, and it's Michael Jackson. There's one certain Michael Jackson I attend. Maybe it's just the drive time that I hear. But I like that you like Mike. I like that you like Prince.
Right.
I mean, you're going to hear those guys along with... Gosh, it just... you hear the disco hits, mm-hmm. and you have great disco hits. You're going to hear rock, and again, they're all recognizable type songs.
And I you're gonna hear Waylon Jennings, and you're gonna hear Garth Brooks, and you're gonna hear.
So I heard Eddie Rabbit play mm-hmm. Step by Step yesterday. Awesome.
Yep.
I said, gee, I hadn't heard that in forever. Huge hit back in the day. Yes, nobody plays it anymore.
Nobody. You know, during the summertime, you know, we do a lot of DJing for Myra's across the street over here for their classic cruise in, and the town was having a big festival, and they had a couple of country stations set up in the road up here with their tents and everything, and they were playing today's country music. Yeah. Well, I'm playing Jerry Reed, Eastbound and Down, you know, David Allen Coe, Never Even Call Me By My Name, you know, Alabama, Mountain Music, you know. Mm. I had a lady walk up to me and said, you know, that's a sad day. I said, what's that, ma'am? She says, when our rock and roll station plays better country than our country station does.
I totally agree. I almost can't stand to listen to country music anymore. But like Don Williams,
Tulsa Time,
Right. What was the song I love so much? But anyway, you mentioned Alabama. You play The Closer I Get, The Deeper I Fall. Man, it's awesome. And again, these are hits. I would say your target demographic has to then be 40 to 60.
Close. I'm 35 to 70. I mean, we're pretty open there. I actually have a lot of younger folks that listen to our station. One of our voiceover guys, he's in his early 20s. He absolutely loves the station. And it's all because this was the music that his parents brought him up listening to.
Yeah.
They didn't bring him up listening to more of the modern stuff because it's not music anymore. There's no talent necessary to make it. You know, in my personal opinion.
Okay, so I got a question for it's not on here. Are you a musician? Are you a musician in any way?
No, sir. No.
See, the interesting thing, so I am a musician. I play guitars, keyboards, bass. And to me, as I listen to it, it seems to be a radio station that a musician would almost come up with. Because I sat there and listened, I say, okay, then he could have picked a different cut. But you know what? There's a musical sophistication to most of what you're playing, Steely Dan stuff and all that. You know, okay, wow, I'm glad he picked that one. That's got really good guitars in it. You must have just a good ear for what...
Musical knowledge. Now, when I was in junior high and high school, I mean, we were all-star chorus. Yeah. I sang, baritone, and we went to Carowinds several years and won Best in Show every time that we went down there. So, you know, as far as being a musician, no, but I did learn music when I was going through high school and junior high. And not only that, even going on through college, when I first started in college radio, we were playing big band and jazz. So I was exposed to that. My father listened to country. My mother, she was a rock and roll woman. She loved good rock and roll, which is the Chuck Berry, you know, and things like that from the 50s. And then you also had, different influences in my life, like my stepdad, Gene. He was soul, you know, from the 60s and the 70s. My brother and I grew up listening to the same music together. Once again, it harkens back to the radio in the 70s and 80s and what we heard growing up.
Have you gotten a lot of positive feedback? What are people saying about the station?
Absolutely. Tony, we have people tell us all the time, it's like, I love your radio station. It's on in my car. It's on in my house. I've got everybody at work listening to it. If you go to any of the restaurants around this area here, anywhere that they can pick us up, you're hearing us. All the stores play us. Like I said, the restaurants. When I'm sitting in the window here, it's not uncommon at all for somebody to walk up to the window there and just start waving at you, you know. And not only that, if I walk outside for anything, there's many times that I hear people jamming in their cars to what I'm hearing behind me here in the station. And I mean, and it's a great feeling. One of my favorite things is when I pull up to a stoplight and I'm sitting in traffic and nobody knows who I am. They don't know. Unless you see my shirt, you don't really know who I am. But I'm sitting there and I look over and there's people sitting in the car and they're just rocking out to what I'm playing on the radio. And I mean, it gives me a great feeling to know that I'm playing something that they like.
That I really like, what I would call, you can tell me what the technical name for it is, but I call it a mostly music format, which all I hear from you is some local advertisers now and again, and then you say the weather. You don't really go into news or anything like that. I would recommend, this is me personally, to stay just like that and don't ever change. I mean, I love it that I know that at least 85% of the time I'm turning on the radio, I'm hearing music.
Right.
Is that a conscious decision on your part?
Absolutely. You know, it's the music that's timeless. Music that's going to be here for a really long time. And we did carry news when we first went on the air. We were a Fox News affiliate. As a matter of fact, we had a sponsor here in town for the news. And during the summer, there was a tornado came through the Lincolnton area down here and just decimated our satellite receiving sites, because that's where it was received at and piped in to us up here. And at the time, we didn't have the money to rebuild the satellites, anything down there, so we quit carrying the news, which seemed to be a popular decision.
Yeah.
You know, I would have never thought it, but...
We know most of us are going to get our news off of our cell phone. We're going to go to Google News. We're going to go to Fox News. We're going to go to whatever, CNN, whatever our feeling is.
Yep.
We're going to get the headlines. And usually before we hit the road, jump in our car, we're going to see it on television.
Yep.
And so why be reminded of it again? We get in our car, and we want something that's going to lift us up, lighten. And like the music you played on my drive in this morning was just splendid. And every single cut got me just kind of pumped up as I'm going along. I'm saying, wow, Eddie, great. Thanks for that. And I would even say your music is sort of a feel-good station in a way. I never hear anything that's going to make me cry or anything, or, you know, put me in sort of a meditative, you know. It seems like everything's
right.
Fairly upbeat and fairly positive, right?
Absolutely. It is a positive radio station.
Yeah, if you want to go get bummed out, go get you, find your bummed out radio station. This is not it. It is a real, people can listen to you on, if somebody from Illinois that's watching this wants to check you out, they can check you out online, right?
Right, WSVMradio.com.
And you go there and everything's playing live now. We're playing there on there.
Absolutely. You just click on the little listen now button and you hear what's on the stream.
Go give it a shot for a couple hours and see if you don't get hooked on WSVM.
Okay, you can also go to the Google Store and get our app.
Yeah.
We have an app as well.
Well, you know, I did not know that.
Mobile and global, baby.
So let me get into some like starting radio station type questions.
Okay.
Okay. First off, WSVM, I know V has to be Valdez, M has to be Morganton. What is the S? I mean, how do you guys want to even go about getting a name?
I have WSVM is Heritage Call Letters. I mean, they've been around since 1961. And many of the folks around town have many different names for what it stands for. You know, we have, we serve Valdez merchants. We serve Valdez and Morganton. We serve a variety of music. Right.
I figured it was like Valdez Morgan, so I did. But
right, yeah, the V and the M is the only constant thing that I've heard in that, yes.
So was the frequency already established, 96.5? I mean, did you step in? You had to go to like FCC or somebody? And,
yes, sir.
Is that a hard thing to do? Tell me about that process.
Well, when we originally had gotten in, we were in the market looking for a station. My partner, Vance Patterson, and I, we've been looking for several years. It just so happened that WSVM was off the air. And I approached the gentleman who owned the frequency and talked to him and asked him to let us buy it. And he didn't really want to sell it to begin with, but after talking to him a few times, I mean, he's a great guy too, he sold it to us. And you know, if a station is off too long, they lose their license.
Really?
It's permanent. It's gone. Well, WSVM had been off the air for almost a year. And after 1 year of being dark, you lose your license. And that frequency goes away. It's gone forever. So we got the rights to the frequency, built basically a new station, moved the antenna from where it was at, because we couldn't use that one, nor the property. The town of Valdez owned it, and then they were going to, you know, tear it down and make the cemetery bigger, so we had to go elsewhere. And we were under the gun, and we worked really hard. I did a lot of paperwork, a lot of rushing around, and with the engineering help from our engineer Mike Griffin, we were able to get a long wire system put up under a special temporary authority from the FCC and got the station back on with just days to spare before the frequency was lost.
Wow.
Once we got the AM back on, the Congress had passed the AM Revitalization Act, which basically just says, you know, if you've got an AM, you know, you do the studies on it, and if there's something open in your area, we'll give you a low power FM to go along with it to help you out, because AM's dying. I mean, it's going away completely. And we did our engineering consultants and everything, and 96.5 was a great pick for this area. So we bought a translator, brought it in, and we set it on top of High Peak Mountain. And once we got the authority from the Federal Communications Commission, we lit it up at 2,300 feet in the air, and seven counties have never been the same.
You had to put new hardware up there on top of High Peak, right?
Or yes, sir.
You didn't like rent it from somebody else. There's a
no. We own everything that comprises this radio
station. So how many watts exactly is the station?
Well, it is. We're a maximum wattage translator, which is 250 watts on top of the mountain.
So 250 watts. But now, you know, you used to hear people on the AM station say we're 5,000 watts or this, but your reach is pretty far. I mean, I can hear you all the way to Lincolnton when I'm driving down 321.
Right.
I mean, for what, you say seven counties, what exactly is your reach, you think?
Well, you know, I've heard from folks from Cowpen, South Carolina, picking us up
really?
Down there. And due to the fact that there's a 96.5 in Asheville and there's a 96.5 in Boone, we have a completely customized antenna. So we're real strong to the south, real strong to the east, and we cover our area right here. And you can get Burt, Caldwell, Catawba, Alexander, Lincoln, Gaston, and Cleveland counties.
So you can actually directionalize if that's the
that is
which way your signal goes.
That's right.
Since you don't infringe on somebody else's.
Absolutely. And directionalize is a word. I'll let you get by with it anyway.
So I got a question here, which was, yeah, what kind of technical feat was it? You've already kind of touched on it, but apart from getting your broadcast signal going off the top of High Peak, which, by the way, I've got some awesome drone footage where I flew up there. It's going to be great, but I'll put it over the top of this.
Okay.
we're really nice studio here in a really nice building mm-hmm. that I never thought I would see turned into something like this, but I love the look in here and everything.
It's a 100-year-old building.
Yeah.
We have a very historic city. We own a historic building, and we have a historic heritage call letters to yep. go with the station. So there's nothing about this whole operation that isn't historic.
Well, talk about the gear that you're using here. I mean, I see really nice monitors. We got a really nice control desk. You got a mixer of some sort. What kind of stuff did y'all have to buy to pull this off and do it right?
Everything you see in front of you.
Yep.
Everything you see.
Give me kind of just a nuts and bolts rundown of what kind of stuff it takes to really pull the station together.
Oh, you got all kinds of technical stuff for which is where the engineering comes in. And trust me, even though I know a little bit about it, I am no Mike Griffin. I am not an engineer.
Yeah.
But we have boards, miles and miles of wires. You have switchers, you have routers, audio processors, spectrums, prisms, compressors, limiters. I mean, everything that you could possibly imagine. It's like a really, really nice home stereo system.
How did you know how to do this?
Well, a lot of...
I know you're a DJ, but like dances and stuff, but had you been a radio DJ before?
Yes, sir. I started in radio in 1987. At one time, I was the youngest FCC licensed disc jockey on the East Coast. And the only reason I wasn't the youngest one in the United States was there was a kid whose dad owned a radio station in California, and he got him his license. So, and he was a few months younger than I was, so he actually became.
And how old were you back then?
13.
13?
I was 13 years old, yes, sir.
So you've just grown up doing this.
I loved it, yes, sir.
Is there ever anything else? I mean, I was going to ask a question later on just about your background. Let's go ahead and put it in now.
Okay.
Give me a 3-minute overview of what your career path has been.
Well, I started off in radio when I was 13, and I've been in, like I said, law enforcement. I've been in public service. I was a trash man at one time. Well, trash man is not politically correct. We were garbologists You know, rode on the back of the truck, picked up all the junk. I've cleaned toilets, I've swept floors, delivered pizzas. I mean, there's been numerous jobs that I've performed in my life, but, you know, radio has always been one of my number one loves.
I mean, are you realizing success here? Do you feel like this is something that's going to stay around and grow?
Absolutely, absolutely, Tony. Just from the feedback that I get, and when I run into people in the street and they see my shirt and they're just like, "Oh, I love your station, and you guys play some great music," you know, it lets me know, number one, that they're listening, which is the number one thing in radio. If you don't have listeners, why would you be on, you know?
And you have to have, to make money in radio, you have to have advertisers.
Absolutely.
What kind of a challenge is that? I mean, do they pretty much come to you? Has the quality of the radio station brought them to you, or did you have to go out and aggressively sell?
Both. We have done both, Tony. We have people that call us, and we have a sales crew who go out and they sell.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of both, but there's been a lot of them that have just come to us because they like the station. So, hey, I want to be on this. Can I be a part of it? And, you know, absolutely, you sure can. Come see me.
Your ad amounts of time, like you sell 30s, 20s, 10s. I mean, what sort of your increments?
30-second ads. We sell 30-second spots. That's right.
Do they come here to record them, or are they allowed to do them on their own, or use a freelancer or somebody to produce them? I mean, how exactly do you get the ads?
Well, they can have an agency do it, they can do it themselves, or they can come in here and they can record it themselves, or they can give us a script and we record it for them.
Does it become hard when you're having to get audio from multiple different people to make sure that when it goes out and is played on the radio that it is all level and one's not louder than the other? I mean, do you use just studio compression or software or something? Describe how that's done.
Well, you know, say somebody wants to record their own, I'll bring them into the production room here at the station, and they sit down and they read whatever it is that they want to read, and you know, I'll look at it on the board. And 99.9% of the time, there's a lot of editing involved. You know, they mess up. They're not radio pros, so you know, you have to go back and cut out the parts where they don't do it correctly, and you know, you cut it and splice it and bring it over. But it's not like the old tape. You know, you used to cut it and put it together. Now it's all digital. But yeah, no, it's not real hard anymore if you know what you're doing.
It's some of my techhead, geekhead friends will want to know.
Hi, AB nerds.
AB nerds, right. So, do you use stuff like Adobe Audition? Tell me the kind of software stuff.
I use Sony Vegas Pro 13.
Oh, that's an old one. But oldie but goodie. I mean, but it still survives, right?
We have Audacity and we have, we have Adobe. Yeah. But just because that's the one that I've been using for so long, I mean, I know the ins and outs of it, and I can cut it like that.
I'm done with
it. And there's absolutely no difference in what it does as opposed to the brand new programs. It's exactly the same.
What kind of mics are you using in the studio here?
These are RA20s.
All right. What kind of board are you using there?
This is a Wheatstone IPIZ Digital.
Now, I see you've got a monitor there.
Yes, sir.
So tell me this. The play of this software that a typical radio station uses, so you don't have to be here around the clock. Describe the kind of package one would need to buy, and what kind of task is it to make all that work, the learning curve.
Wow. The automation that we use here is an automation system that I was on the beta testing group for about 8 or 10 years ago. And, you know, as it got better and progressed, we kept adding to it and adding to it. Until now that we've got one that it runs the station almost flawlessly, you know. All computers stop.
Yeah.
Even the great big stations, their computers just and they're done. And that happens to us as well. So we just deal with that as we get to it. I use a program called Diaretta, and it's a Diaretta Broadcast Pro version. Now you can get those online on a trial basis, you know, and play around with it, but you know, you have to buy it if you want the actual pro version.
But so for 10 years you've been using this software and it's pretty much perfected now, and you so if the computer goes down, do you have to like jump in the car at 3 o'clock in the morning and come run up here and restart things? You do. How far away do you live?
About 7 minutes.
Oh, so it's not too far.
It's not too long, you know. And at 4 o'clock,
people call you up and let you know?
Oh, that phone rings as soon as there's no audio on the air. That phone's ringing, and if it's not one of the listeners or one of my friends, we have an alarm system on the equipment here where when it senses no audio on the air or on the board, it sends out an alarm, and that calls me at home. It says, hey, dummy, you got an alarm going off. Get up here and fix it, you know.
Can any of this be done remotely? I mean, can you do anything from your house? Does you have to come to the studio to make this stuff happen?
It can be done remotely. And as a matter of fact, it was done remotely for the first 2 years we were on the air.
Really?
Yes. The entire station was in my living room in Grand Falls.
Well, okay. So clue me in here, because how long has WSVM been broadcasting?
Since the 2016.
Well, see, now, I didn't even become aware of it until probably May, March, or April or something of this past year.
Well, see, AM went on the air first. Remember, I was telling you that. The AM went on the air once we got the authorization from the FCC, which was February 3rd of 2017.
Yeah.
Then we went on the FM, and that's when things really started picking up.
And my birthday's February 3rd. That's cool. Nice little birthday.
Mine's February 16th.
Yeah, so it's hey. Where is this?
Yes, we are.
Well, then that's why we're so crazy, man.
That's what it is.
I kind of think. Supposedly nuts. Peter Gabriel's Aquarius male. You know, people like that. This is bizarre, folks.
But we're also very talented and very artistic.
Yeah, we're handsome, too.
Yes, we are. Good looking guys.
So, question. So, are the songs Waves, AIFS, MP3? I am just curious. Do most radio stations now, do they have like a big MP3 list, or what is it?
I don't know. I can't speak directly to the other stations, but I do know that I run PCM Uncompressed Wave for you AV nerds.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. It's like 44.1 kilohertz.
Yes, sir. 1.7
megahertz. CD quality. You're even full-on CD quality. That's why it sounds so great. There's nothing taken out of it at all.
Nothing. You know,
it's a great sounding radio station. Yeah.
The only way that we could sound any better is if we run straight linear turntable to the transmitter.
Yeah.
And that's just because of the warmth of the records. And yes, folks, that is a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, they'll never have another media format that had the warmth and the depth that vinyl had.
Yeah. They never will. Right.
You know, but of course, it's not feasible to really have, you know, 20,000 records on the walls in here anymore.
What sort of business still benefits big time from radio advertising, do you think? I mean, is it restaurants? Is it grocery store? You know, I know what I hear, but could almost anyone, a local business, you think benefit from radio?
What businesses benefit from radio? Three words. All of them.
Yeah.
The key to this is getting your name out there. Name recognition. You've got to stay in the public eye. And, you know, I have a lot of them who say, well, we don't want to advertise right now. Business is good. Okay, when business is not good, are people going to remember you?
Yeah.
No, because you've not been out there. So all business will benefit from the radio.
The promos or the lead-ins, WSVM.
The jingles.
Yeah, the jingles, all these things. I mean, are there agencies that you use to get that kind of stuff?
Absolutely.
You sound very professional. You don't sound like a hometown radio station. You sound like a big-time radio station. Tell me about that.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little story first, Tony. When I was growing up, I used to listen to All Hit 108 WBCY. I think you might remember that. John Boy and Billy were there for years.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they used to run jingles in between their songs, and I thought they were the greatest thing. And I wanted that for our station as well. So I'm talking to a fella on the phone one day out in Dallas, Texas. And I was telling him kind of what I wanted and give him the reference of WBCY back in the day. And the guy on the phone with me says, guess what? We were the ones that recorded those jingles. I mean, you're kidding me.
Wow.
So they cut our jingles for us. I would have never thought that I was talking to the guy. And he was actually the producer and director for the jingles that I grew up listening to. And he is now the producer and the director for the jingles that we use on my station.
There are other competing radio stations, but the thing that set it apart for me was your mix. And then the professionalism, right. The sound of it. So from the very beginning, you had in mind what you wanted, even for your promos and your jingles and all those various different things.
As a matter of fact, one of the stations that you're talking about, I had approached them. I actually went down and talked to the manager about my ideas for helping the station out, and basically got the cold shoulder. It's like, I don't need you. You know, you're just some guy off the street. You know, they wouldn't hire me. They wouldn't take any of my advice or anything. They branded it wrong, and I was trying to tell them that, and they wouldn't listen to me. So I just, okay, well, I can't make you number one. I'll make me number one.
Well, why not?
I'll make me number one, right.
Is it an expensive thing to do all that you're doing? I mean, naturally, revamping this building and all, and making a really great first-rate radio station. I mean, what, did it take a lot of capital to start it up?
Yes.
And to keep maintaining it, too, I suppose, right?
Yes, absolutely. It did. But, you know, Tony, if it were cheap, everybody would do it.
Yeah. Okay, what do you like about being in Valdez? I mean, this doing something like this on this scale in Valdez.
What do I like about being in Valdez? Wow, that's a great question. I like the Valdez. We'll stick with Valdez here. Valdez is a beautiful town. I mean, I absolutely love this little town. It doesn't matter what time of day or evening it is, it's always bustling around. Yeah, there's something going on. I mean, you can come up here on a Sunday, and it's bustling. I mean, there's people just moving around and walking up and down the sidewalks. And like I said, they're constantly jogging up and down through. There's a lot of health nuts in this town, I believe, because I see them run by the window all day long here. But I think the thing that I really like about this town is it's a close-knit community. Everybody knows everybody, and it's beautiful. You can see on the video here, we're just right after Christmas, 2018. Yeah. The town has the lights decorated. They have the trees decorated. You have the Waldensian Trail of Lights over here. I mean, they've done such a great job with this town, and they just made it beautiful. Seth and all the folks down at the town hall there in Valdez, kudos to them. I mean, it is just a beautiful little town. And not only that, you know, WSVM started in Valdez.
Yeah.
You know, in 1961, you couldn't get a better radio station in Valdez than WSVM.
See, I wasn't around to hear that, but take your word for it.
I wasn't either, you know. But, you know, from what I hear and the history of the folks who were here back then, you know, this was the station to listen to.
So Valdez is sort of in a little renaissance, I think, going on now. I mean, there's renewed manufacturing. There are more different people, exciting restaurants, and you got new bakeries coming in. They got new clubs coming in. Everything seems to be hopping and popping. Whereas 10 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe not. I mean, I'm wondering how much the revitalization of everything around here is what kind of prompted the need for a new radio station. I mean, can you say that without the growth that's happened in the last dozen years, could this radio station even have happened?
Well, it probably could, Tony, due to the fact that we don't cover just Valdez anymore. We could have covered, you know, anywhere in the seven counties. But I just thank God that Valdez has rebounded, and they are what they are today. And it's just getting better day by day.
And you touched on it slightly. The thing I like, see, I've only been here since 2010. I used to live in Conover. But I just find the people fantastic.
They are.
I don't think there are any better people around. They remind me of the folks I grew up with up in the high mountains. They're just good, salt-of-the-earth type folks that like to have fun, like to smile, like to shake your hand.
Right.
You know, I know there's crime that goes on everywhere, but when you look on something like City Data online, you find that Valdez is almost zero.
I mean, it's almost zero,
Mean people don't move here or we'll shoot you.
But that's it. We're going to get you. If it ain't cops, it'll be us.
But some of the best people I think I've ever met. Would you ever consider starting a second station?
Absolutely.
Okay, and if so, what format might you go if you go a different format?
I give you three guesses.
Okay, would it be really good classic rock? I mean, not boring, not repetitive type stuff, or would it be a purely, I don't know. What would it be? Tell me.
Well, I mean, if we were to get another station, it would be in another town, which is something that's not out of the realm of possibility, and I would program it pretty much like this one.
Yeah, yeah. So you still stay with adult hits type stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, radio in this area was dead.
Yeah.
I mean, all we were getting were the Charlotte stations.
Exactly.
We're coming in. We put the station on the air, and we started playing this music. And it was almost the same as a bunch of dogs being fed the same bland meal over and over and over and over. Then all of a sudden, you got a guy that comes along and gives them a steak.
Yeah.
I agree. And somebody had said one day that, you know, your station is kind of like radio soup. No, I don't agree with that. I think we're more radio lasagna.
Yeah. I'd say so. Quite a step up. But like I say, the thing that I like is I'm always surprised. Like, I'm not going to talk about other radio stations again. I'm not going to bring up their call letters or anything. But there is a local rock station that I go on there, and I'm pretty sure I know. And it's an independent station. At least they claim to be. But for some reason, I go on there, and then some dude is going to play like Queen the Eskimo or something. I'm going, what?
Yeah.
Why are you even playing that? And you might hear it three times a week.
Yes.
It's just because he likes that song.
Mm-hmm.
Some obscure song off of Manfred Mann from that nobody ever heard.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I don't get anything predictable from you. I ride down the road, and there's always that little, yay, wow, I like that. There is that nostalgia element that comes in along with that.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned it before, kind of the element of mystery or
Mystique.
I like that. Right. I like that a lot. So I was going to ask, what kind of guts did it take to make this move? I mean, clearly you must have stopped another job and you had a dream and all that. But I mean, what kind of fortitude did it take for you to decide to do this?
Not so much for me as it was for my partner in it. You know, the guy that's my partner in this, he was the one that really stepped out on the ledge.
You mentioned his name earlier.
Vance Patterson.
Right. So Vance must be a big-time radio fan, music fan.
You want to know how this all came about? You want to know the story?
Yeah, maybe. Do you mind sharing it?
I don't mind at all.
As long as it's on the record, you don't mind, or we'll take it off the record.
It's on the record. Okay. You can put it on there. Vance and I started Patterson Pyrotechnics, and we were doing Fat Boy Fireworks. We got the trademark on that as well. But I was doing a fireworks show for July 4th up at Lake James. And we used his dock as the launching point for the explosives. And I had the software, and we had run a little pirate radio station for a couple of years over in Granite Falls called Homegrown Radio. And I still had that format, you know, and I was playing it on speakers that, you know, I would jam out the crowd on the lake with.
Yeah.
And Vance comes down there, and he's like, I really love what you're playing here. He said, can we get this on the radio somewhere? I said, only if we had a radio station. And he looks over at me, he says, we'll find this one.
And awesome to have a friend like that.
It is. And the man told me, him and his wife, Mary Jo, are some of the greatest people you'll ever meet. I love them like their family. I mean, they basically are. I've been working with them for 10 years now, and they're some of the greatest people you'll ever meet. But he said that and just turned around and walked off. And hence the 3-year search for a radio station. And we got lucky and found it in our backyard, Tony.
Just off the cuff, what kind of advice could you give somebody that wants to do almost like exactly what you've done?
Be a doctor. No, if you want to get into radio, and I'm glad you asked that too, Tony, because there's a couple of folks here and a young lady, and there's a few people that have really wanted to do something in radio, and the Charlotte stations won't give them the time of day unless you've got this list or you've got this voice that just comes from the bottom of your feet, you know. They won't give you a chance. I'm different. I'm your local guy. I mean, we are a local station. I like my local folks on the air. All the commercials that you hear on here, they're local folks voicing them over. These are people that have wanted to do this and never got a shot with anybody.
Yeah, this is something that's interesting. So I used to be a DJ in college.
Okay? Right.
So you can hear my accent. I've not tried to change my Southern Appalachian accent.
Neither have I.
I sound just like I sounded when I went to Mitchell High School up in...
Y'all, watch this.
Exactly. let's face it. You can really, when I get there around my brothers, I sound a whole lot different, a whole lot more like that than I do Dan. But I've never changed my inflection. I've still never changed my. I was an English major, so I have a pretty good vocabulary. But all that. What is it? Why do certain people think you have to sound like blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
it's not like a disc jockey for
me. Pronounce your vowels just this perfect way to be on radio. You know, I love it that you sound like you, and that our one of the things I find very interesting and fun is the fact that the local advertisers sound like local people. I get a kick out of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about, does radio have to have a certain voice or inflection or...
No, that is corporate talk right there. I don't mind at all if I've got somebody that comes in here and I've got Southern draw. I'm a Southern guy. I'm proud of being a Southern guy. I don't want to sound like a...
Everybody, I think, expects it to be that Midwestern sort of no accent, which really is an accent.
Right. Accent is an accent. You're right.
And they think that the I's have to be said like I instead of I, or however we, yeah. But I do like it that to me, the ads are as entertaining in some ways as the music. I mean, they come in here with their rhymes they've worked out, you know. I can't remember. You know,
if your pockets are swollen, we'll keep you rolling.
I love that. And forgive me, I hope it's this station, not the other station we alluded to. But there were some guys that had a pawn shop. Do you run the ads for them? And I love the way the guy says, come on in and we'll get some money to hold you over. And it's like, I don't know what they're saying. They're saying hold you over. But it comes over as hold you over. And
hold
it's
you
hilarious.
Over.
I love it. And, you know, I like it. I think people from 1,000 miles away who might listen to you online or something would find it very interesting just to listen to the local regional accent and get a kick out of it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Tony, I got a call from the Caldwell County Sheriff's Department one night, and there was a child missing over in the Hudson area. It's a 13-year-old. So I immediately went on the air, you know, and I'm telling them, you know, here's the description of the child. What they're wearing,
dude,
you know, last
awesome
seen.
Service. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. I mean, I have two kids of my own, and I love children. But, you know, I put out the word immediately, and after every song, I mean, after everything, I was like, look, we're looking for this kid. We're looking for this kid. And then finally, I got that call. We found him.
Awesome.
So I get on the, and I mean, I'm just happy, and you know, I'm just relieved, you know, thank God they found this little kid. And I get on the air, and my wife's driving up the road in the car. And I'm, hey, y'all, I want to thank every one of you. We found that youngin'. Praise the Lord, you know. He's going to be fine. We found the youngin'. You can quit looking for him now. And my wife comes in the studio. This is when it was at the house. And she says, you Southern showing, baby.
That's all right. You know, praise Jesus that you're willing to be.
That's right.
Now, I would rather hear a person be themselves and not put on.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I realize you have to have sort of a broadcast voice to do this, or people are probably...
It's a turn off to some of them, but okay.
Yeah, you are who you are, and that's one of the things I really like about you. For you as a listener, what is the coolest thing about driving down the road and listening to radio? I mean, why listen to radio instead of throwing a CD in there and just listening to a CD or turning on SiriusXM or something like that? You know, tell me, what is it that makes radio still a viable, awesome means of communication?
Well, if you got the right station, unpredictability. I like the fact that, you know, I can't tell you what's coming up in the next few minutes. I like the fact that, you know, we may get a DJ on there, you know, he's like, hey, from the Rags and Stags and Best Old Waxers and the Old Goody Sound Spin from WSVL. I love that, you know, it just falls back to, like I said, the mystique of radio. It's like, for years, I've had people call me up at the station and they'll be like, you know, do you look like this? And they'll describe it, you know, just
you try thinking you're getting, what does their DJ look like?
Yeah, I've never had anybody get it right.
Yeah.
I've been everything from a hunk to a punk on the air. Nobody has ever gotten it right.
Well, you know, one of the things, Eddie, that I think as I'm riding down the road too, and I'm listening to it, is especially with your station. So this is probably the number one reason I really love your station, is I listen, every song comes on, it's something I like, that I remember, or even if I don't like it, I respect that it is a song that had its place in music. But I know that the next song I probably will love. And so what I feel as I'm going down the road is that there's like a brother of mine over there somewhere. But I feel almost like a kinship to that person that's playing the music.
Right. I mean,
would you say, you as a listener, you're out there, is that sort of what it was for you too, or is that?
Yeah, relatability. Yeah, I can relate to it. You're playing music that I like. I like your DJs. I like everything about your show.
I mean, I'll be right down there and I'll say, good job there, DJ, whoever you are. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
That's my jam. Yeah.
I needed that. You know, okay, well, very cool. Listen, I covered maybe half of these questions. You answered some of them. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the station that I've not commented or asked you about today?
Well, I think you've done a great job of covering everything, Tony. I can't think of anything that we've missed, you know. I just hope that you folks will get online and check us out. If you're in this area, in that Seven County area, listen to us at 96.5 FM. And if you're not, WSBMradio.com. Go to the Google Store. Get our app.
Yeah.
You know, I promise you, you're going to love it.
So, yeah. So, people, I know I've got people in England watching, people in Russia, people in China, got the big Australia. You can listen to a little bit of North Carolina, a little bit of just homegrown, awesome mix. You're not going to find better. I promise you, you're not. I've worked for Christian Tours for 8 years. I've been from one side of this country to the other, listening to radio when I had, you know. Mm-hmm. And this really is a great little feel-good station. That, yeah, if you want rock, there's rock there. If you want really good country, classic country that has a pop sensibility, you're going to find that here. It's not a hardcore country station. If you want to find funk, if you want to find some, I don't hear rap on your station.
No rap. No.
I mean, unless it's Debbie Harry singing Rapture.
Rapture. that's about as rapish as it gets on
it's
here.
It's 70s, it's 80s, it's 90s. It's good. It's well thought out. Eddie is right on target with people in my age range, mid-50s. And so, thank you, brother. Thank you for doing something really excellent. Appreciate it. I want to say many, many thanks for doing this.
Thank you for coming by, Tony. Appreciate it. Enjoyed it.
Awesome.